Yvonne joined Oklahoma News Channel 8 in 1986. She is a native Tulsan, graduate of Will Rogers High School, the University of Oklahoma, and in May of 2012, earned her Master of Divinity degree at Phillips Theological Seminary right here in Tulsa. Yvonne has been recognized by the Gaylord School of Journalism, the National Association of Black Journalists, the Tulsa Association of Black Journalists, which she co-founded, and the Turley Correctional Center.
To the question, what's the role of the media in providing civil discourse? The media's job is to report what is happening. We're supposed to be the watchdogs. While we should not shape civil discourse, it is our responsibility to present a range of viewpoints so that viewers can take it upon themselves to determine what course of action they should take or how involved they want to become in a particular subject. The public brings their own perceptions to what they see and process on the news. Well, what about contributing to the social fabric of the community? The contribution should be to continually, as journalists, ask questions. Why? Why not? Who is affected? When I covered the controversy of the Ten Commandments at the courthouse in Poto a year or so ago, one of the questions I asked the group supporting the display was, what if a Mormon group wanted to erect a statue on public property? Would that be okay? Well, the point I was making is that Oklahomans overwhelmingly supported a presidential candidate who was Mormon. So it seemed logical that other religions might also be welcomed. The Ten Commandments challenges ended up on land owned by the disabled American veterans, and the spokesman said he wouldn't share the land with other faiths, even Mormons. Another story we covered was in May of 2013 that I remember, plaques from the Ten Commandments removed from all the public schools in classrooms in Muldrow, Oklahoma, after a student brought up the legal concerns. Isn't it interesting that the Ten Commandments issue at the state capitol has opened up the issue to other non-Christian groups and the Satanists wanting to erect a structure? I listened to Rabbi Charles Sherman's presentation in the first series where he talked about a complete separation of church and state. He said it is not kosher to have religious monuments in public places. His concern was for the rights and dignity of all religions. My faith also teaches me to respect the religious beliefs of others and that all are welcomed at the table. As for the question if reporters feeling any sense of responsibility for the quality of the social fabric in the community, the priority should be to present an unbiased account of what happened, which would best serve a community's social fabric. I feel it is also up to the individuals and groups to speak out if they feel someone is being misrepresented in the media. One colleague of mine I asked this question agrees, saying if a minority faction of a religion is making the rest of the group look bad, the majority should speak out against the negativity to make sure their viewpoint has been expressed. What are the sources on religion used by most reporters? I can speak for myself. Generally, in our newsroom, it's ORU, and since I'm a graduate of Phillips Theological Seminary, it is Phillips Theological Seminary. I try to always make sure they are included in the conversation. In some instances, I've tried to make sure that they, especially on the weekends, we try to cover events involving other ethnic and minority groups to help broaden. This is my contribution to help broaden the perception about a particular group. A couple of years ago, I was invited to read to students at the Peace Academy, and we covered that story and a number of festivals and the like to try to help dispel Muslims as extremists, for example, and other groups, Hmongs, Hindu. You may wonder how media producers decide what labels to use. Well, it depends on the individual producer in our newsroom. So how do you work to change an offensive label? You call the television station. You educate newsrooms. You make yourself available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and then you begin to build a rapport with those media outlets, beginning with the assignment desk, who have a lot of say in what goes on and the stories that you see on the news. That's what helps change labels and opens up the conversation, and it is up to each of us in this room to speak up. I asked a media friend about his thoughts on sources concerning religion, and he said, and I have to agree, in the African-American community, it's pastors because they're seen as leaders in the community, and they can often talk about anything, mostly not religion, but if it has to do with crime or education or some other issue that's gotten attention. Does the media have a duty to assist the faith community in their public image? No, in my opinion. The faith community has a duty to find ways to engage the media more in their activities, events, and celebrations. Outside of that, it's the job of the public relations professionals to assist those in the faith community with their public image. The only duty of the media is to avoid letting one person speak for an entire group and to at least make an effort to include the faith community in their stories. I asked one media producer to answer this question about the faith community and their public image. And she said, there is a fear of backlash. This is a news producer. She said, there's a fear of backlash if we cover religion. Religion is very polarizing. The fear is not from a non-Christian group, but from Christians themselves. Oklahoma is, after all, a red state with a growing number of conservatives, and the fear of backlash is translated into not covering or pushing the coverage of certain stories. This is from a 24-year-old producer. I believe this perceived fear may at times narrow the decision makers' efforts to broaden our coverage of religion. There used to be a different voice at the table on our weekend assignment desk, for example, who was diligent about covering various events and religious groups. That individual is no longer there, but I applauded his efforts for including, like, the Turkish festival and other celebrations. Knowing that good news does not sell, what challenges do the networks and news reporters face in reporting the news in a fair and objective way? The USC Annenberg School of Communication and Journalism and the University of Akron in 2012 did a study that was published in the Poynter Institute, a training facility for teaching excellence in journalism. And the study was about media and religion, and it said that one half of all reporters say a major challenge to covering religion is a lack of knowledge of religion. The report also said that just 19% of reporters say they are very knowledgeable about religion, and a third consider themselves knowledgeable. 40% say they're somewhat knowledgeable, and about 10% say they don't have much knowledge at all. Another challenge for me in this area of reporting the news in a fair and objective way is time. Time and meeting deadlines and incorporating social media into my day regarding the story that I'm covering. To be first with a story, to be accurate, to be creative, it's becoming more and more challenging. And so for me, my primary goal has become to be accurate, to be accurate. Time is a luxury that is my greatest challenge. Stories need to be visual for television. The story should have broad appeal. We hear this often. It has to be able to answer the question, why should I care? And will other people care about the story? People sitting at home with their remotes have many choices in what they watch, listening to the radio, reading the newspaper. If I can't draw them in with my report, they will change the channel. I love telling good stories. I wish I could do it all the time. I will bring your stories, if you give them to me, to our news director, and we can sit around and talk about what stories to cover. When it comes to religion, what do you consider news? In the first series in the trilogue, Sister Melek Odilag, also known as Sister Jackie, talked about the Soraya Ann Foundation, which operates a Muslim shelter for women. I thought, wow, that's a great idea. She said she got a phone call from Rosa and went to her board about accepting people of other faiths. She relayed a story and said that her faith teaches her to meet the human needs, and Rosa and her child were accepted into the shelter. This is the compassionate side of Islam. Sister Jackie went on to say, if they can accept us, we can accept them. I see this as an opportunity to change the conversation about another faith. This is a good story. On one Sunday a year, New Haven United Methodist Church doesn't meet and goes out into the community to work to serve others. I don't remember what they call this Sunday, but they do church outside the walls. A reporter did the story for our station last year, and then at Christmas, I did a story about Indian Springs Baptist Church serving Christmas meals to individuals and the elderly and the disadvantaged on Christmas morning. I asked a friend yesterday what story she'd like to see on the news, and she told me about millennials not interested in church. Why are the young people, the millennials, driven away by religion? I think it's an excellent idea. Stories that get people talking and responding on social media you will likely see on our newscasts. Protests are stories that producers like to cover, for example, groups opposing legislation, candlelight vigils, sometimes balloon releases, marking an unsolved case or a violent death, the battle over gay marriage. On lighter news days or weekends, if a church hosts a big event, especially a charity or giveaway, those kinds of things. Religious leaders are contacted for perspectives on national and international stories. One example is interviewing the local Catholic leader, like the bishop, about the election of Pope Francis. Some stories that are good don't get covered and lose out to other stories. And one example a colleague gave me yesterday was the Moore tornado. He brought up that a group of Scientologists there were helping rebuild the city of Moore. And we didn't get to do the story, and he was disappointed, but it goes back to why he told me he got into journalism. He said he entered journalism with the goal of giving someone a way to walk in someone else's shoes, and that's what we do as journalists. He said it's necessary in our world, and too often he's found a number of Oklahomans to have a very limited viewpoint. He said empathy is lacking in Oklahoma politics and recalled Representative Jim Bridenstine during a town hall meeting and his lack of response to a woman who said President Obama should be executed. I am astonished at the level of hatred and disrespect. When these kinds of comments and behaviors go unchallenged, we are all in danger. Personally, I feel it's important as journalists to expand people's view of the world and their experiences. Can the media actually provide civil discourse? I think it's more of a matter of contributing to the conversation by providing information about a said topic or issue, such as the facts, names, dates, and figures that make civil discourse possible. My social responsibility goes beyond the stories I deliver on the news. Sometimes I feel compelled to do something about the problems I see that either no one seems to be addressing or that little attention is given to. Case in point, I was doing an interview with the former city councilor, Bill Christensen, in the brand new shops on Pine and Peoria during the mayoral race and noticed trash in the parking lot, and it really bothered me. So much so that I returned to do a story about it. In the story, I solicited the help of two teenage boys to help pick up the trash with me. I returned the following Saturday alone and just picked up trash. Next, I got a call from a woman who had an idea. And we met, and she told me about the young men in her church who would like to help me. The group ended up adopting the site, and they have returned several times, and I with them, to pick up trash at that site and weeds that are a blight in the neighborhood. But there's another point that I want to make here, and it's a spiritual one. When we ignore and allow the litter in our communities, we also allow and permit it to grow inside of us, the trash. When we clean up the outside, we clean up the inside. Picking up litter alone hasn't satisfied my need and desire to help the social fabric of the community of North Tulsa that I grew up in. Next, I created a short story about a woman picking up trash and getting the attention of the citizens in the community, and began going around to schools, which I do, talking trash, and encouraging kids to pick up litter. My point is, do I, as a journalist, have a responsibility to help shape the social fabric around the area I live in and report on? The answer is, I have a responsibility to, at the very least, contribute to the conversation. I have a responsibility to bring attention to those areas that are being overlooked and to ask questions, why and who is responsible. And then I, Yvonne Lewis, have to look at myself in the mirror and say, what have I done to contribute to this situation?